A couple of weeks ago, we started in the book of Matthew. Bruce spoke about John the Baptist and how he prepared the way for Jesus, and then Sue spoke last week on how Jesus overcame temptation and was prepared to begin his ministry. Matthew is pointing to the fact that Jesus is God's fulfilled promise, that he is the Messiah. And he continues on pointing to the prophecies of Isaiah. He prophesied that the ministry would start at Capernaum and that his message would be for everyone, calling it Galilee of the Gentiles. And he also said that a great light would be brought into the darkness. Jesus, the light, would come bringing salvation and healing and changing lives. And he continues to do this today. So then we'll go to, so Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee and he calls the two brothers and then the other two, and it says they dropped their everything and left and followed him immediately. So the first two brothers we read about are Simon, Peter and Andrew. We know they would already have known Jesus because Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. But it says when they were asked, all four men immediately followed Jesus, which is amazing, really, that they would leave everything behind, family, friends, business and possessions. And it made me think of that verse, I think it's in John, I should have researched it, but where he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I came across this fellow, Jim Elliot, and he was a Christian missionary, and he had a quote, he said, which I think sums it up pretty well. He said, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Another way of saying, he said that, and this fellow, Jim Elliot, he actually lived that out. He was an American fellow, and he dropped everything he had and went and lived with the tribes in Ecuador, and that's where he stayed until he died. These four men realised that following Jesus was more important than anything else, that Jesus had come to restore their relationship with God, and that this good news needed to be spread far and wide. So I'll just go back to verse 17, and it says, from then on Jesus began to preach, repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near. And when Jesus, and that's his first words of ministry. And it was interesting that John the Baptist said much the same words. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And I thought that this was an interesting way to start his missionary, to tell people that they are fundamentally bad and need to change their ways and follow him. It just doesn't seem to be the best way to win friends and influence people. And I was thinking, imagine if you founded a political party and your main message was that you're all bad and you need to change your ways and do things our way. It wouldn't be very successful, but I guess the Greens try it to a degree, and maybe the Cannabis Party, and they aren't that successful. It could be the message they're selling too, but John the Baptist and Jesus both began with the same message, repent. But when it comes to repentance, there are three different kinds of people. There's those who feel they are too bad and cannot be forgiven. Those that feel that they are not perfect, but they are good, so need to be forgiven just a little. and those that know they need to be completely forgiven, that they are all bad, and that they are, and they know that they are completely forgiven. And as Derek used to say, I am all bad, all the good in me is from Jesus. So there's some people that think they're so bad that they are unforgivable. But as Rob preached last week, if Jesus could forgive Paul, then he could surely forgive us. After all, none of us have been going around killing Christians. So the issue is not that God won't forgive us, but we, or something we hold dear, or someone who we hold dear, won't forgive us. And I've got a quote here from Tim Keller. And it says, to say I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself, means you've failed an idol whose approval is more important than God's. In other words, you put someone above God whose approval is more important than him. And some of us, and probably where a lot of us fit in at times, I know I do, is that we think we're mainly pretty good, but that that Jesus dying on the cross for us is just handy for those occasions when we do make a mistake. The trouble with that is we're saying, Jesus did a little bit for me by dying on the cross, but I've done most of it myself. And the easiest place for us to look for sin is in our politicians. That's where we like to point the finger. We criticise them, but really, they're just us with power. And I find it amusing that just lately everyone's into Albo for accepting the flight upgrades. I see the rest of us wouldn't accept them if we had the chance. The trouble with thinking you have no faults, or very little, is then Jesus died for nothing and all his suffering was in vain. But deep down, we all know we don't measure up. How many of us, when we go out in public, make sure we show our best side? If we've got a best side, we must have another side. Would you be happy if everyone could read your mind? I'm sure the Chinese are working on it. The truth is, we all need total forgiveness. In Psalm 32, David says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. I'm just going to turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. These verses are about a Pharisee named Simon who thought he was quite good, and a woman who knew she wasn't. It's long enough, but I sort of need to read it all to get the context. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she began kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman was touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, cancelling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he cancelled the larger of the debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the first time I came, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my head with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. But a person who has been forgiven little shows only little love. And Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. So this woman has repented much, so had much love for Jesus. But Simon had repented little, because he thought he had only little sin, and so he had only little love for Jesus. So just to finish things up, whether we think we are too good, not good enough, or somewhere in between, Jesus' death on the cross has forgiven all of us. And just one last quote from Tim Keller, which I think sums it up pretty well. The gospel says you are simultaneously more sinful and flawed than you ever dared believe, yet more loved and accepted than you ever dared hoped. And I'll just close in prayer. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, just to help us, to remind us that that you've done it all for us. There's nothing we can or could do on our own. And everything good is us, in us, is from you, Lord. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.